It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So, on the 30th of July, the government announced the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill, following through with Labor's election promise to ban gay conversion therapy. Today, ACT's Brooke Van Velden spoke about the party stance on this bill, why they have hesitations, and what they would like the next step to be in terms of developing the bill further. Why does the ACT Party have concerns with the current state of the bill?
So the ACT Party came out yesterday in support of the intention behind the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill. And I think it's important just to outline what that hopes to achieve. And that is the ACT Party belief that everybody should have the liberty, the ability to live a free and full life. So if you're gay or gender diverse, it doesn't matter. People should be able to feel confident that they can be themselves in our New Zealand society. And that's an inclusive society that we want to live in. What the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill hopes to achieve is banning gay conversion therapy. And that's for people under the age of 18. And I also believe that people should not be forced into gay conversion therapy. The issue that the ACT Party has with the bill as it's drafted is that it appears to cross into that parent-child relationship. So if you have, say, a 13-year-old child who is struggling with their sexuality and their gender identity, there is an ability there for that child to take hormone blockers to stop puberty onset, but for a parent not to be able to be included in that. And in doing so and stopping their child taking hormone blockers, being prosecuted. And I think there are a lot of parents out there in New Zealand who would be really struggling with the idea that their child could see a therapist and start on a trajectory of stopping puberty onset, but them having concerns not being able to be part of that conversation with their child.
Chris Farfoy has said that the purpose of this bill is not to criminalise anyone, let alone parents, but instead it is about having open discussions with young people and people of all ages about sexual orientation and gender. Isn't this legislation more about normalising LGBTQ plus conversations rather than penalising them?
Well, you're absolutely right that that's what he has said the intent of the bill is. But when questioned by the media on whether parents would be prosecuted, he couldn't say whether or not they would be. And I think that is hugely concerning to many parents around the country who do want to have normalised conversations with their children about gender and sexuality, but being afraid that whatever they may say could in fact end them up being prosecuted. Now, I think we do have to admit that we live in a very diverse society. We have people who have a range of different religions, and that's through all sorts of different age groups. And I think there are a lot of people who do want to be inclusive of their children, even if it doesn't fall under their particular religion. But not being sure with whether their conversations would fall within or without the mark of this law, I think is really concerning. So the ACT Party is saying that we do support part of the intent and we would send it to select committee so parents can have a say on the law and that lawyers can actually go through it and see whether it's drafted as it's intended.
So do you agree that this issue should be ironed out within the legislative process here in New Zealand? Because the bill is set to go through three readings, select committee and public submissions.
I do believe it should be taken through that consultative process. So the ACT Party said that we would support it at the first reading. And what that allows is for members of the public, people who are legal experts, for the minister, for a range of people who may work as therapists and counsellors in the space, to have conversations with members of parliament about how they interact with people who undergo conversion therapy of choice, how they interact with people who are questioning their sexuality, parents about how they would like to be involved in the process with puberty blockers too. Because the important thing here is that we're listening to people's concerns to make sure that if this law does pass, that it's not capturing people who it never intended to criminalise or prosecute.
Brooke and I then move on to discuss the Auckland Cycle Bridge, its benefit-cost ratio, and whether Brooke believes catering to cyclists is important. Why is the ACT Party not on board with the cycle bridge?
Well, we've seen a range of movement here with the cycle bridge that was proposed underneath the Auckland Harbour Bridge. And the benefit-cost ratio that the government's own advisors produced showed that the costs of the bridge outweighed its benefits. So to put numbers around that, for every $1 that New Zealand taxpayers would be spending on it, they'd be losing 60 cents because it wasn't going to be deemed a good investment. And the problem that I have with this is that this announcement of the cycle bridge was made at a time when the nurses said that they were going on strike. So I believe it was a distraction to take the media, who they believed would be in favour, take the public who they believe would be in favour of the cycle bridge, could distract them from another problem. Now, after announcing this bridge, the Labour Party has actually seen a 10-point drop in its own polling, and they've decided, well, maybe we're not going to go ahead with the bridge after all. I don't believe they expected such backlash to the idea of the bridge, and I believe they don't actually have an intention now to continue with it.
Coming back to your point about the benefit-cost ratio, even with the BCR being less than 1.0, isn't it important for Auckland to try and shift its transport network to cater to more green transport like bikes, scooters and walking? Because Auckland specifically relies heavily on driving a vehicle because of the way the city has been organised.
I think there needs to be more acceptability of the reality of how people actually do get around. You know, if you take, for example, a mother who is needing to drop their one kid off at school and then they've got to go to work and then in another direction, it's very hard to say that this cycle bridge is actually going to solve any problem for them. What we need to see is a better functioning system, so more free-flowing traffic. And I think this bike bridge won't actually solve a congestion problem. All it really does is help the Lycra lobby, the people who live between two of the richest suburbs in the country, biking from one side of the bridge to the other. This is not going to help any first-home buyer, for example, who is buying out in South Auckland, who still needs to get back into work. It's for a very small number of people, and it's a huge cost that doesn't see an added benefit.
So do you see any importance in finding ways to connect the North Shore and Auckland City for people on all different modes of transport?
I'm open to different ideas on how we can get our transport network better functioning. But what I don't see is the ability to force people into new modes of transport. We haven't seen a huge uptake in cycleways because people do want that flexibility of having a car and being able to travel to multiple places on any given day. And I think my focus is on real people who are sitting in traffic in Auckland who know that they can only afford a home on the outskirts of the city and they still need their jobs in town. They need that flexibility of a well-functioning road network rather than a focus from this government on policies that are intended to create support for the Labour Party and not actually benefit New Zealanders.
The government also has another project underway, the second Waitemata crossing, which is likely to be a tunnel. What are your thoughts on this option as an alternative?
I haven't looked into the benefit-cost ratio of that particular project, so I'd have to get back to you on that specific one. But what I do know is that this Labour Party is extremely cynical and is making policies based on who they believe will support them at any given time and based on polling, rather than on an analysis of whether projects stack up. So having a benefit-cost ratio of around 0.4 is a huge cost to New Zealand taxpayers without the benefits that the government would hope to see from a project, and we should not be making decisions based on such bad data.
That was Brooke Van Velden talking about the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill and the Auckland Cycle Bridge.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.